In this episode, we're once again talking with Bailey Summer, a business mentor for ethical horse trainers.
Having a system that sets you up for less work and more profit and better results for the client. I just want it to be a win-win-win all around, you know, because I'm not in the business and none of my clients are in the business of just getting as much money as possible and not delivering on the value.
Welcome to the Equestrian Connection podcast from WeHorse. My name is Danielle Kroll and I'm your host. Bailey Summer helps ethical horse trainers to create, launch, and sell online offers in just 4 months in her business mentorship program, Ethical Trainer Alchemy. And she has helped dozens of trainers get their businesses off the ground and generate actual profit instead of just barely breaking even. She has made it her mission to help them get booked out and well paid so they can sustainably do the work we so desperately need, both horse and human alike. I originally interviewed Bailey 2 years ago on episode number 69, and today she is back to share her latest free offering, How to Make Your First 5K Online, which is a mini course for ethical horse trainers and practitioners with a step-by-step process to take their work online, attract aligned clients, generate thousands, even with a tiny following, without sacrificing integrity or client success. So be sure to scroll down to the show notes after the episode to get your free access. And now let's dive in. Bailey, welcome back to the WeHorse podcast. For anybody listening, if you haven't already listened to Bailey's original episode, I feel like it was like 2 years ago now or something wild. Highly recommend you check that out. And I'm super excited to speak with her again. So welcome, Bailey.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. I'm so excited. And I can't believe it's been 2 years. That feels like mind-blowing to me.
I know. Now, don't quote me on that. It could be like a year and a half. But it's been a little while.
Totally. That's so funny.
So tell us, what have you been up to since we last spoke in the past, you know, whatever time frame it's been?
Yes, I have been, well, the past year especially, I've been pouring most of my energy into creating the curriculum for and refining overall Ethical Trainer Alchemy, which is my group coaching program for horse trainers. And I get other practitioners in there too. So it's been so fun to really dedicate myself to this creation process and being of service to my clients in the best way that I possibly can. So when I'm not working on ETA, I've done some like live trainings as well for people who don't want to opt into a 4 month transformational journey and they kind of want some tips and tricks on marketing. I've done some free trainings as well, which has been really fun. And then when I'm not working, I spend a lot of time on fitness, being outside, snuggling horses. I don't train a lot anymore. Most of my horse related life has to do with supporting other practitioners, but I get to snuggle them, tell them they're cute, been building windbreaks, and really enjoying nature, movement, and self-growth. That's what I've been up to.
Oh, I love that. That sounds like it's been a lovely, you know, 2 years, year and a half.
Yeah. It's been so nice. There's always challenges, as is true with life. I fractured my ankle. My cat had an emergency, and my cat is my child. So I know your listeners would probably understand with animals being like so important to them. So there have been, you know, bumps in the road and new challenges, but every time I experience one, it ends up bringing me closer to myself in some way. And I end up having some kind of like up level from it, as long as I'm paying attention. If I'm not dissociating or stressing and I'm really alive and aware of what is happening inside of me and in my world, then the challenges tend to bring a lot of growth. So while I've had hard stuff throughout the year, you know, little bumps, it's been really special.
It's so interesting. A lot of what we see online for like marketing and sales and creating courses and things like that can be, I'm going to use a term that I'm sure many will resonate with, is like bro marketing.
Yeah.
Like it can just be like icky
Totally.
And turn you off. And I have to say, like, you have such a good energy. It just everything, like, you feel really aligned. And for someone within the marketing space, it's such a breath of fresh air to
Thank you.
Especially in your realm of, you know, working with ethical trainers, because it is so aligned. You know, I'm sure that they resonate with you as much as you resonate with them. And so it is so nice to have, like I said, that breath of fresh air within the marketing space for someone like you to be helping people that want to still keep that sense of themselves. And you so clearly also have a sense of yourself. It's really lovely to see.
Thank you. What a beautiful reflection. I appreciate that. Wow.
I would love to hear more about your mini course. And also just a quick sidebar before we dive into that. If anybody's listening and they're thinking, I want to know more about Bailey, again, go back to the original episode, episode 69. And if you feel like you also want to have a little bit more of like a current reflection of yourself, please feel free to add that into our conversation today too.
Oh, cool. I love it. Yeah. I'm sure what I said then is pretty reflective of what's going on now. I feel good about that. Yes. Okay. So my mini course, it's called How to Make Your First 5K Online, and it's specifically for ethical horse trainers and practitioners. And I decided to make this mini course, and I decided to make it free because I was noticing that so many practitioners they want to do something online because they see the major benefits it can have on their life and lifestyle. So they don't have to attach all of their work to their ability to show up physically, like bodily, you know, whether you want to travel or if you get injured or sick or you want to move locations. There's so many reasons to want to be able to separate your work from your body, at least some of the time. And at the same time, so many people feel deeply mystified and also overwhelmed and confused by the thought of using the internet to make money. It feels like this huge nebulous concept that they just can't wrap their minds around. And if they've consumed any content online, it feels like there's too many, like just so many options. Yeah. So I wanted to make it really accessible. And I wanted to show trainers how actually simple this process can be. I mean, it is mind-blowingly simple. Not to say that it's easy. I think anything worth doing in life can have some challenge involved. Usually the challenge is actually inner work. Like it's the emotional side of being seen in the public eye or people not noticing your posts. And so being seen, being not seen, putting yourself out there, being vulnerable in the sense that creating something is a vulnerable experience. So it's hard in that way. But when it comes to the strategy and the tech and the systems, it is. And that's what people think is holding them back. That part's easy. Like that part is, I should say it's simple. That part is very basic and doable for anybody who has a mission and who wants to share their work with more people, with the world, and who want to better their lifestyle in doing so. You know, whether they want to totally go online or if they want to just have that as a bonus to the work that they do in person. I want that to be accessible. So I don't know if that answers your question, but.
Yeah. I mean, like, what do you think is in store for the future? Like, I mean, there's, especially ever since the pandemic, we've seen the rise of the online space, people being more online, more online offerings, people moving their, creating programs and memberships and everything like that online. And it almost seems like if you're not online, it's like the what, like the quote, like weird thing to like the, to not be online anymore. What do you think is the future of horse training, and whether it's trainers or coaches or practitioners, like how they work with horses and horse owners specifically, like moving forward?
Oh, I love this. Okay. So I will say that while I help trainers to go online, I also, for their own benefit, I also want to say too, there's huge value in staying local and having word of mouth clients. That's amazing. And if that works for you long-term, by all means, you know, I'm not like a champion of the internet. I just want to provide support for people who already want to go that route. So just making that clear, but you know, and I don't want to fearmonger of like, you have to be on the internet if you want to be successful. I don't think that's true. But there is a lot of opportunity here. And so for the future of training and how that kind of melds with the internet, something that I would love to touch on is that a lot of trainers are afraid of the market getting saturated. So, you know, let's say I work with ethical trainers, which can, it can mean a lot of things. But like, well, I'll just use an example of a clicker training horse trainer. All of their peers have a clicker training course or program or something, and they feel like the market's taken, like there's not enough clients to go around. Everything's saturated now. And I want to just really quell that fear and say that the future can be, here's what I see what happens when the market feels saturated, is that people just get to become more themselves. They are challenged to kind of find their unique, their like signature edge in the marketplace. But that means that they get to dive deeper into the niche thing that they care about most. So no, we don't need 100 or 1,000 generic intro to clicker training online courses or programs, but whatever thing that you're most passionate about and interested about gets to become your niche and your thing. And that can be something that you attract clients to you for your unique ability and perspective and skill set. So all that to say, there's room for everybody here, genuinely. And I really mean that. There's room for everybody in the online space. And if you're not getting noticed, that's just a, there's just a discovery to be had here, you know? And let's see, there was something else in there as well with the saturated market situation. Oh yes. So there are always people, trainers feel like they can't find the clients, and then the clients feel like they can't find the trainers. And so the issue then is just the marketing, the ability to reach and communicate what it is that you do to these people. Like I see so often, I'll go on Facebook into a specific group where I'll see one person say, is there any trainer on planet Earth who can help me without like pushing my horse to pass the point of, you know, terror? Like, can anybody do this? I'm so by my wit's end. Why can't I find anyone to help me? And then I'll see trainers will tell me, where are the people who care about their horses more than the outcome? Like, where are they? And they're everywhere all the time. We just have to learn how to connect. Okay. So what I see for the future is people getting really clear about their own niche and what they bring to the table and getting to be more and more of themselves. And I see trainers and practitioners being able to communicate and reach the people who are actively seeking them out all the time. And yeah, that's like that. That's the ideal vision, right? Is as many people who want to do this work online get to do it, and they're effectively finding the clients who need them. I think that's going to become more and more true over time.
What about like the type of like within the specific industry? So let's say that it is somebody that specifically trains horses. Let's say it is somebody that is a riding or horsemanship coach. They're kind of, you know, working a little bit more with the humans. Let's say it is a body worker, you know, or somebody that is typically a hands-on practitioner. How would you say that, like, those different divisions, we'll call them, can have an online presence?
Okay, yeah, that's great. Well, I'll start with the body work question because it's the least obvious. It's you know, when you do body work with horses, you have your hands on their body or in some way, shape, or form. So with that, there's a few options that I'm actually that I just love. And I'm excited for more and more people to begin doing this. And of course, that's shifting from doing a service to being a little bit more of an educator. So body workers have a couple options. You don't have to have, you know, you don't have to be an elite body worker and have a certification program. Something else you could do is your ideal clients could be owners who just want to learn how to support their horse better. Maybe you're a body worker who helps owners of senior horses to support them in their bodies through their final years. You know, there are options like that where you don't have to get too far into certifying and things getting, I don't know, legal or too official. You can just help people who want to help their own horses. And if you are at that level, you can create your own educational program for other professionals or for aspiring professionals as well, which can be online. So that's how I see that working. That's the most confusion I see with that. But another thing you could also do is combine it. You could have a hybrid type program where, let's say, you have your in-person clients and you go and you do body work with their horse. But then in between that time, their clients have a curriculum that walks them through how to keep supporting their horse in between sessions. And maybe that curriculum is available to people from all over the world and also for your in-person clients. And then because of that massive added value of the horse being supported in their body on more of a day-to-day basis, you can also charge much more. So you can earn a lot more profit in less time when you have something like when you have intellectual property, like a curriculum of some sort. And of course you can add coaching into that where online you just hop on for however long, whether it's 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, and you guide your clients through what it is that they're doing with their horse in combination with you being there. So there's so many fun options. And I see the same thing, for example, the farriers too. Hoof care practitioners could do really similar stuff. And then for like a riding instructor, my favorite layout ever, and I go into this in great detail in my own programs, but my favorite layout for an online offer for starting out especially is to have a coaching program that also has curriculum. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of them being the ability to, one, be really transformational for the client, because not only are they getting information, they're also getting personalized feedback in the coaching. But then for you as a coach, you can save so much time and earn a lot more money by having a curriculum. So it's really the best of both worlds. It's a great setup and it makes your work really easy while the clients' lives are just like, you know, totally turned around. So for a riding instructor, for example, you can have some curriculum that shows them some of the basics and then you can coach them, give them personalized feedback on how their riding is looking. Some of my clients like to do live lessons, like using the Pivo, or someone can hold the phone for them while the coach watches. And others have their clients take video of their own session, and then they just bring that to a Zoom call, and then the coach can give feedback in that way. And there's huge pros and cons, I should say pros to both. There's really not a whole lot of cons other than the setup being a learning curve, but major pros to both options that I think are really cool and exciting. So yeah, hopefully that answers your question about how that works.
Like so many ideas. And I hope for those listening, you know, that you're like, your wheels are starting to turn of like so many different ideas and ways that, like you said, you can niche, you can come up with like something specific that's also going to work really well for you, the trainer, the coach, the practitioner, that is like, a support system to your existing business.
Yes. Yes. I'm so passionate about both as the coach, as the business owner, having a system that sets you up for less work and more profit and better results for the client. I just want it to be a win-win-win all around, you know, because I'm not in the business and none of my clients are in the business of just getting as much money as possible and not delivering on the value. But we also want to genuinely help people. So I'm really excited about these formats because I've seen it be all of my clients when they get their own clients, they message me and they tell me all the amazing things that their own clients are telling them. So it's such a beautiful like cycle and ripple effect that I'm just like obsessed with.
Yeah. I mean, one of my questions here that I was going to go to was like, why do you think this is important for the equestrian industry? And you just answered it so beautifully, is that it can literally be a win-win for everybody involved. Is that not only can, you know, the equestrian professional have more income coming in, so, you know, there's less like hustle and overwhelm and exhaustion that we very commonly see in a lot of horse professionals. But also, you know, the clients themselves can get more support, so that, you know, they don't just, let's say a trainer comes in and works with them, and then the owner is then left thinking, okay, now what do I do on my own? You know, or something like that.
100%. Yeah. That's a huge thing that my clients experience, is that, or so let's say a horse trainer, they work with some clients that are, this is such a typical experience. They are working with clients who want to send them their horse, and then the horse is fixed, and then the horse goes home and everything's fine. And that's just never the reality of it. For one thing, the clients kind of are pressuring the trainer to get results quicker so that it's cheaper, you know, faster means cheaper, because we're, you know, trainers are usually paid by the month. And then the client isn't super involved in the horse's rehabilitation or training or whatever it is. And then the horse goes back and every single result has come undone. And as a trainer, that's really heartbreaking to know that the horses that you're working with and that you build some kind of relationship with are going home and things are going to feel really different. And so that's one thing that's so cool about this, about having an online offer or some, like I mentioned, intellectual property, like a curriculum. You could even have clients send horses to you, but then they go home with the curriculum that they have every step of the way guided, you know, whatever. But the main thing is that the human is involved, which we know as horse people, we know it's the human that needs the education almost like pretty much most of the time. It's the person who really needs the support and the help. So doing something online kind of takes out the doing it for them and teaching them to do it for themselves, which can be really cool. Not that there's no value in horse trainers, like working with horses hands-on. That's incredibly important as well. But I think for a huge portion of the industry, a lot of problems would be solved and a lot of more results would occur if the responsibility was shifted towards the person, the client. And that's kind of what online world does by necessity.
You know what I just thought of? We have a really large international audience. WeHorse is it's a company over in Germany. This is the North American or English speaking division. And our audience is global. And one of the things that I have heard, I can't say I've experienced it for myself. My horses, they're not imported. So different people that I've spoken to, you know, in the US and here in Canada that have imported horses over from Europe, there's often a struggle where the horses over in Europe are in a specific structured program. And then they come over here and the program is very different. And you see a lot of these incredible, talented horses kind of crash and burn a little bit. And people spend, you know, a ton of money on these horses. And then they're thinking, what the heck is wrong? And so this may be, you know, not the typical, it's kind of a more of a performance sport, you know, kind of a division, a little different. However, it is like it can be seen as an ethical for the horses, is that these horses are then thinking, what the heck, you know? And so there's a lot of confusion involved. And so it is one of those things where if there was a European program or trainer, and if they are selling horses to be imported to the States, they then had some sort of an online program. If you're European and you're listening to this, and they had a program then it helped the people that imported the horses to understand how the horses were trained, how they were worked with, what they were doing on a regular basis. So it's a easy transition for these horses. You know, rather than immediately go into something completely different over in North America, just off the top of my head, it's just something that I've heard a lot
that there's so much confusion of these horses, and it's heartbreaking to see these talented horses completely burn out. Anyways, that was a side thing.
I love that idea. It's so when you kind of become entrepreneurial, you see problems as such major opportunity, and an opportunity in your ability to alleviate suffering and help, and then also to earn more revenue. Like, that feels good. I think anyone doing good work deserves to earn more revenue. So I love that you thought of that, that came up. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. So we covered like the different types of the trainers. I want to talk now about like the hesitation, the thing that, you know, somebody might be listening and thinking, oh yes, great idea. I should do that. You know, I put it on my list of goals. I'm going to contact Bailey. I'm going to get started. And then life happens or fear comes in. You know, what is it that you think keeps people from adding this as a revenue stream?
Okay. There's a couple of things. I would say the first one is there's this huge, I mean, just major intimidation factor with technology that a lot of trainers have. Not all. Some are young and spry and have done it, and others are just, you know, adept at it for whatever reason, maybe a different career, whatever. But a lot of trainers that I talk to, that's a huge fear of theirs. That's the first one. And the next major one I would say, like you kind of alluded to, would be time. They're afraid that they don't have the time to do this, which of course I have solutions for all of these things. But to answer that question directly, that is what people tend to come like bump up against when they're thinking about doing things like this. And then there's other things like the fear of being seen, or I have a lot of women tell me, they're like, I just don't look the part. You know, I've had kids. I don't look the part. And that, which breaks my heart. I mean, that is just like, I could talk about that too, but there's lots of little things, but I'd say the main thing would be time and technology. And other things that I hope I solve in my content, which is like, what do I put in my offer? And what do I, like, I don't even know what to, I don't know. I've too much to put in there. I don't have enough to put in there, which my mini course totally is going to be covering. So, yeah.
Mm. Let's chat a little bit about your previous clients.
Yeah.
So those who have worked with you, what are some of the different like ways people can work with you, whether it is in ETA that you had mentioned earlier or one-on-one, like what are the different capacities of working with you? And what are some of the experiences or like results that some of them have gotten, if you don't mind divulging?
Oh, totally. I love this. Okay, cool. So I want to make clear the things that are holding people back. I do want to offer solutions to those before totally moving forward, but this answering this question will help in doing that. Okay. So I'll do both. So the number one way to work with me is through Ethical Trainer Alchemy, which is my 4-month business coaching program. So what that looks like is my clients get a curriculum, which is, it's my pride and joy. I'm so proud of it. And it really turns out incredible results for my clients. And then each week we get on a coaching call. I answer all questions. There's a lot of, workshopping things together. Like, we'll share a screen and I'll literally help you write stuff. and then unlimited message support. That's my favorite way to work with me, because you also get to be in a group. You get to learn from so many other people who are like-minded, and you don't have to feel so alone in the journey. And I also work with my clients one-on-one. So they go through the same curriculum. I call that the strategy sanctum, is my one-on-one coaching container, where it's the same thing. It's just that we do it face-to-face, one-on-one together without the group. So those are the ways to work with me. And my clients, I love this question because I just got to talk to one of my first clients. We just had another session. We do one-off sessions here and there throughout the year. I'm so excited about her results. She's really showing me and everyone else what's possible. So this client, her name is Naomi Langdon. I have permission to share about her. She was able to go 100% full time with her online business. So she's able to quit her in-person work. She was able to quit training horses in person, which was really wearing her down at the time. You know, we all have different capacities at different times. So that was just not something that mm-hmm. she wanted to continue doing. So she was so relieved to be done with that. She's serving dozens and dozens of clients a year. And so the coolest part is, she was able to go full-time with this. And now she's moving countries. And she's starting a new brick and mortar business in a completely different country while maintaining her current online business. Her online business is sustaining her completely as she builds this other business that's a different passion of hers. So I'm so excited for the revenue she's been able to generate and what that's been, that the freedom that that has allowed her. Mm-hmm. And the new opportunities that she's had and the location freedom that she's had. So she's a really cool example. I won't divulge exact numbers, but I'm super impressed by what she's been able to do. And her clients are just absolutely thrilled, you know, lives mm-hmm. change from working with her. So that's been really cool. I've also worked with nonprofits who make, you know, they last year I had a nonprofit make over $10,000 in their first ever online launch. That was super exciting. A lot of my clients make 10K plus in their first online launches. And many others also, if they don't reach the 10K mark, they're still making four figures. They're making thousands of dollars at their first try of building something online, which is such a divergence or such a you know, new way of doing things compared to a lot of trainers who go into the online space will make kind of a couple hundred bucks here and there from a subscription or just a course or whatever it is. And I'm so stoked that my clients have been able to make thousands of mostly profit because the expenses are incredibly low. And doing all of this, to go back to my previous, like what I said, most people struggle with when they first are facing this, is they could do it with really limited technology. So all my clients need to get started is some kind of video conferencing like Zoom or Google Meet, which most of us are familiar with at this point. A Google Drive folder and or YouTube links that you can give your clients access to videos. Canva is a nice bonus. You can like design, it's a graphic design, drag and drop type thing that has a free version. And what else? It's like really give the ability to download a PDF. You know, I mean, it's really, really incredibly simple. When my clients start out, I have a whole system, which of course I will be outlining in my free mini course, which allows you to be able to start making thousands of dollars without even needing a course platform in the beginning. So you don't need a funnel. You don't need ads. Like there are so many steps that you can skip and just go right to generating a meaningful profit so that you can pay vet bills. And so that, you know, the next month doesn't feel so scary and stressful. And so you have more time with personal horses. Maybe you can lay off a few lesson clients that you don't love, and then you can hang out with your own horses instead. You know, these are the things to me, this is what profit means for ethical horse trainers, is getting to spend time with their own horses and maybe build a track system or, you know, keep some kind of system to have less mud on their property, whatever it is. That's what profit means to me. So when I talk about it, just keep that in mind. Okay. And they've been able to do all that. And typically I would say for most of my clients, they just need like 90 minutes a day. Which is, when I explain this to people, I sometimes I'm like, I wonder if they believe me. But you can work on your business for 90 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and in 4 months you can make thousands of dollars. But that's what it looks like for my clients. So you don't need an exorbitant amount of time. Most of my clients work full time jobs or multiple jobs. They have kids, or they're pregnant, or they have run a farm, or whatever it is. So you can be strapped for time, you can have low tech skills, and you can still pull this off, which is what is so exciting about it to me.
Mm. We touched on this a little bit in the previous podcast. Again, for those listening, it's episode number 69. And that is having a small social media following.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many, and I'm going to use the word horse trainer, but I'm really speaking to like equestrian professionals in general, but so many of them are so strapped for time, whether it is they're so busy with working with clients or they have, you know, a busy personal life, family, you know, their own farm, things like that. And like you said too, there are so many people that are limited on the time that they have to work on work with their own horses and like enjoy their own life, basically.
Yeah.
And so for those that are listening that are thinking, this all sounds great, but I have a really small social media following, or I never go on social media because I'm just so busy. What would you say to them?
I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is really common, and I have such good news. You don't have to be an influencer. You don't have to have a huge following to get every single result that I listed above. Came from most of my clients who have not had big audiences. I myself have under 1,000 followers on Instagram, for example, and this is my full time work, and it gives me a lifestyle that I'm really grateful for. So, yeah. So you don't need a big audience by any means, and the reason that works is that you can have a teeny tiny audience, but when you charge, you know, a higher ticket price, because of the value of your offer and the transformation that's possible, you only really need a handful of clients in order to generate a revenue that's really meaningful. And when you have a small audience, usually the people who do follow you are a really good fit. They're a really good match for the work that you do, especially if you learn how to create content in a way that is within your niche. Like you, it's very focused and tailored to the people that you want to serve and to who you are. So you only need a handful of clients. You could convert, you could have like, you know, 600 followers and convert a small percentage of them, and then you'll still be good for the quarter, you know? So that's a really cool part. I think a lot of people have this misconception that people won't respect them or they won't think they're good if they don't have a big following. But in my experience, that hasn't been the case at all. As long as you are able to connect with your people, your aligned clients, through your messaging, this is completely a non-issue. People understand that people with small audiences are still wildly talented and capable and incredible what they do. So, yeah. And another thing to keep in mind, I would love for everyone to know this. There are so many people with huge followings that struggle to make revenue. It's a completely different skill set. Having a big audience is not the same thing as generating revenue. They're different skills. Now, the skills can go hand in hand, but it's good to know this because you can kind of skip the, oh, now I have to build an audience online and I have to become like a content creator, which is just not the case. They're two entirely different things. So on social media, you can have a teeny tiny audience. You can convert just a few of them into high paying clients who are so thrilled to work with you. It's like their dream come true to hand you that money. And I mean that seriously. And, but you don't have to essentially waste time on trying to build an audience. You can get cut right to the chase with getting clients with your small audience. And you can do that with also not just posting online. You can do direct outreach. You can just say, hey, looks like I saw you post on this Facebook group that you're struggling with this. I actually have a program that does that. Would you like some information? Like, it's crazy how well direct outreach can work as well. So it's almost like you can get clients on demand at a certain point. So you're really not limited to your audience size either. And it's just a matter of being a real human being and talking to people, which is really cool.
Yeah. We're going to be putting into the show notes the like how to get access to your free mini course. Can you give people a little bit of the specifics? So like walk them through what they're going to expect to get, the time frame of it, like how long it takes for them to go through it, all of those different things so that they feel like well-resourced going into it.
Amazing. I love it. I kept it really simple. There are going to be 5 lessons. We're recording this in January. By the end of January, each lesson will be released. And each lesson is about a 20-minute long recorded lecture, essentially, from me. So it's really simple. There's, you know, you can just do it probably in your spare time. And what I cover in the mini course is the goal is to really give you a high level overview and a really clear understanding of how this works, like how it is that people that my clients are able to earn thousands of dollars in such a short frame of time. So the first lesson is all about business strategy. So just laying out how this thing works. So really demystifying what it looks like to make thousands of dollars online and how that's possible, even with a teeny tiny little audience. And lesson number two is all about finding your signature edge. So kind of going back to the concern about saturated market or being unique and standing out. I covered that in that lesson. And it's the angle I approach it from is you finding your signature edge. But underneath it all, the most important part that's in there is uncovering who it is that you serve and who you help. So discovering who your ideal client is, which is really the root of business in general. Because if you think about it, business is really all about service. You only get money when someone hands it to you. So you want to do really right by the person handing you that money. So understanding who they are, studying them, knowing what they need, what they want is really important. That's lesson two. Lesson three is going to be about how to put together an online offer. Like literally what goes in it? How do you distill a lifetime of knowledge into a program? Or do you not do that? Or maybe if you're newer, what do you put in there? How does it work from a technology perspective? How can we do this simply? And then lesson, I think four, yes, lesson four is all about marketing. So how it works to attract aligned clients on social media. How do you frame what you say? How do you make the posts? The really kind of the basics of social media marketing. And then the last lesson is going to be on selling, on just talking to people and finding out if they're a really good fit for you. And then having a really easy, relaxed and connection-based way to just guide people into your program. I'm actually kind of obsessed with sales because for me, it's such a practice of presence and just deep connection and service. So it doesn't at all feel like a used car salesman where they're just trying to squeeze you everything out of you and push you. It's finding out if someone's a good fit, if you can help them for sure. And then it's just removing the roadblocks to what it looks like to work with you, which feels really amazing. So I'm excited to share that information as well. So by the end of the program, you'll have a good idea of how this whole setup works and the fundamental principles of online business, essentially, is what this is all about.
Mm. I love it. I'm so excited for everybody that's going to be joining it. And like I said, if you're listening and you're thinking, yes, I want in, like, how can I get this? Just scroll down the show notes. And you're not only going to find, you know, how you can follow Bailey, you know, learn more about her, but also how to immediately get access to that mini course. I have a couple of repeat questions for you because you've been here before. So four of them are like our WeHorse questions that we ask all of the podcast guests. And the other one is one that I may have already asked you before. I feel like I've been asking it for a couple of years now. Nice. Because I just think it's important and it's inspiring and it's motivating. So I'd love to hear if it's the same for you or if it's different. We won't compare unless somebody wants to go back and listen.
We can. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. So, what is your hope for the future of the equestrian industry?
Okay. My hope for the future of the equestrian industry is that it becomes more and more putting the horse first. Just our ability to see them as sentient beings and as more than a tool, as more than a hobby, as more than a sport. Mm-hmm. And not to say that we can't do things like, you know, use them in work and in sport, but really caring for them on a deep level, both from environment and health and wellness and training and riding, all those things. That's what I hope to see. And change is happening. Change is slow. On a cultural level, it just takes time to shift. But when I think about, I have a lot of hope for this because I notice things that are different for animals as a culture in general. Like, at least in my country, we don't have, you know, circus animals are not allowed anymore. And we don't generally, people aren't doing bullfighting where there's a slow death of an animal for sport. You know what I mean? It's just these things that used to be so ingrained in human culture are now obsolete because we as humans decided that that wasn't okay to do anymore. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm doubting that this is possible for humanity, I remember that we have done this before. We have made choices that feel like some people feel like they're really giving something up or maybe it's less profitable, but we've made choices that are better for animals. So mm-hmm. That's my hope. That's my vision. And that's my, hope in the sense that like I really think this is possible, that change is here, change is continuing to come.
Love it.
Thank you.
So our rapid fire questions, it's like the first thing that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. First one is, do you have a motto or a favorite saying?
I really wonder if this is the same from last time. I think it might be. And it feels kind of bro-y. So if I can explain in a not rapid fire way, it's the saying is easy choices, hard life, easy choices or whatever. But let's see. Yeah. Easy choices, hard life, hard choices, easy life. Mm. So what that means to me, on a day-to-day basis, what that actually means to me is making the hard choice of saying no to easy dopamine, like scrolling, or saying no to food that isn't supportive for my body, or saying no to relationships or a connection or an opportunity that doesn't feel aligned for me, even though it's like, those are really hard choices to make. It's much easier to make choices that are comfy and that feed the kind of base human desire to have, to be like, have excess or have like pleasure or ease. And that's what makes my life feel full of ease. And when I make the choices that are easy in the moment, you know, choosing easy dopamine, fast dopamine, and all those things, then my life is really difficult. And just coming into my own and maturing has made me realize that's a choice I have to make every day. Like, to make the hard choice that I have the easy life. So that's why it sticks with me.
Mm, I love it. Who has been the most influential person in your equestrian journey?
In my equestrian journey, I would say still Mustang Maddie for sure. The work that she's done with horses had a huge impact on me, especially as a young teen. And I went to college for horse training, and that's actually when I discovered her work. And it was amazing. I was already like riding my horse bridleless and stuff like that before, just from watching, you know, the Stacey Westfall reining video from years ago, if anyone's familiar. I watched that video, started riding bridleless, but then I found Maddie's work. And while I was doing a lot of colt starting, I was doing things different from all my peers and getting results with the horses, both relationally and kind of the basic results that we look for like a trained horse, that were really different from my peers. And that just shifted the way I viewed everything about horses. So that was a very transformative time for me, which has of course continued to deepen and evolve over time.
Maddie's awesome. We actually, if you're listening and you want to, I feel like I'm like a encyclopedia or like resource index.
you have all the stats.
You have all of the things in here. I'm not usually like this. We have an episode with Maddie. It's episode number 73. I interviewed her shortly after first interviewing Bailey. So yeah, check that one out if you're interested in learning more about Maddie as well. Next one. If you could give equestrians one piece of advice, what would it be?
Okay. I'm going to say that Okay, well, I'm going to come from an angle of equestrians who also have a business, because that's my
That's
my realm. Okay, great. That's my area of expertise here. So my advice for any equestrian professional of any kind is building a personal brand is the number one way to build wealth in any industry. And that can, you can work under a business name, sure. But when people know who you are as a human being, and they understand who you, your, what your work is and who you are as a person, you are infinitely more likely to build the kind of wealth that really means something in your life. Like being able to buy a property, having, you know, like I mentioned earlier, having time to spend with personal horses, that kind of thing. And there are so many reasons for this, but you can see it across all industries. You know, even doctors, for example, you can be a doctor in a hospital, or you can be a doctor with a private practice with your own, where you're working under your own name. And that doctor is always going to be generating more income than a doctor in a hospital. At least that's how it is in the States. So that's, it's true across all industries. And being vulnerable and taking that risk of being known and being seen at any level, it can be like, it can be community level or it can be worldwide, but taking that risk of creating some kind of intellectual property and building a brand where people know who you are and they can connect with you from an authentic place on some level is the key to generating way more revenue than you ever could working for someone else or kind of staying anonymous.
Such good advice. And I mean, like you said, we're seeing that across all industries, as well as like people choosing to buy and support from those whom show up as human beings versus like the faceless brands.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We're longing for connection, you know, in this time when so much is literally not real and not human.
Mm-hmm.
And also when things are more full, when there's so many offers, when there's so many different types of offers in the marketplace, so many services, so many goods, what really sets things apart is who you're supporting, who you're buying from. Mm. And if you're radically yourself, if you show who you are, it's vulnerable and you will repel some people because some people just don't vibe. But then the people who do feel so good on your system because they genuinely resonate with you. So yeah.
Yes. Last one. Please complete the sentence. For me, horses are.
What comes to mind is, for me, horses are absolute presence. Just presence. And that's everything a girl could ask for. especially me as someone who I work, my work now is less body-based and more brain-based. Like most of the work that I do just uses my mind. And so to step outside my back door and scratch my horse and get to be in his field where he's just right there. So holy, like such a whole body experience being right there in that exact moment in time. Is such a gift. And I think that's one of the reasons why humans are so interested in horses, even though we make it so much about other things. But just getting to come home to the present moment with horses is, I think it's one of the greatest gifts they've given me, to be sure. So I mean, that's hard to quantify. They've given me a lot, but that's a good one on a day-to-day basis.
That is such like an eloquent way of the typical, eloquent way of saying like the typical thing that we see of like, you say you're going to go to the barn for an hour and you're there for 4 hours. Like you just fall into a time warp of like, what is time?
Totally.
But it is, it's one of the only times, that, I mean, like, I'm sure everybody, if you're not an equestrian, you know, you have your own hobbies that kind of do this. But for equestrians, it's like that time of your day that you lose all track of time, other things going on, and you just fall into this like present portal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. which is kind of the basis for so many practices of spirituality too. So they're just this portal.
Yes.
To that. Yeah. If you're into that kind of thing. Yeah. If you're a woo woo girly like me,
yeah.
Then that is such a gift to have that invitation. It's just right there. Feels good.
Mm, absolutely. Can you share your handles, where you're at, where people can find you, all of those things? And like I mentioned earlier, they'll be in the show notes.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I mostly hang out on Instagram, where it's Bailey Joy Summer, B-A-Y-L-E-E. You'll see the link. And I'm also on Facebook, which is just Bailey Summer. They're like personal accounts. It's really chill. But that's it. That's where to find me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we'll have those in the show notes as well as the link to the free mini course.
Amazing.
Bailey, thank you so much for joining me again. I loved checking in with this evolution, from the past 2 years. And even though it's like, it's not like, oh, I'm meeting a completely different person. Like you're still so very aligned in who you are. I'm loving the evolution of your business and how you are continuing to help, I'll call it the equestrian economy.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much. You're such a talented interviewer and it's really fun to get to chat with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And experience your presence and your skill in this. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Equestrian Connection podcast by WeHorse. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you could leave us a rating and review, as well as share us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at WeHorse_USA and check out our free 7-day trial on WeHorse.com, where you can access over 175 courses with top trainers from around the world in a variety of topics and disciplines. Until next time, be kind to yourself, your horses, and others.